I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome David Forrester. He's the founder of Defined Frameworks. He makes sure businesses run efficiently and smoothly for the home services businesses. David's built 8 businesses over his life, serial entrepreneur, and he helps home service business owners scale by integrating clear systems that eliminate inefficiencies and unlock hidden profits. And apparently, 94% of business problems are process problems. Only 6% are people problems. So I think there's some nuggets there. Even if you're not in a home services business, I think there's probably some things that are going to be really interesting. So let's hear what David has to say. David, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. 94, you know, I have to admit, that surprised me. Only 6% of business problems are people problems. You're testing my, that seems too hard to believe.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, obviously it's a generality, right? Of across the board. So there's going to be, everybody's got their own exact percentage, but when you really dig down into what you think is a people problem, it's probably going to point a lot of fingers back at you. And did you have a process for what went wrong? Was that process clear and were they properly trained? Yeah.
No, it's, well, okay. One of the things, a process problem I have, you know, so obviously we bring people on, and Elena, who runs our, you know, the booking and what have you. And by the way, Elena's amazingly awesome. We've worked together for a long time, and I think the world of her. And I realized somehow we got to the point of the interview and there wasn't a LinkedIn. I didn't have your LinkedIn thing.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't have the process in place to say, "Hey, Elena, don't let anybody schedule an interview until we have this information."
All the info, yeah.
And it would be easy to say, you know, there was something in there, but yeah, so that's an example of a process problem. You could say, well, it was a people problem, but I don't know, the process should be robust.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, especially as like high performing, quick thinking, problem solving entrepreneurs, we get easily into that. Like, why didn't they think of this? Like, it's common sense, right? But it's not for everybody. And when you've built the system, it just lives in your head, right? And you're changing and tweaking. And so unless it gets out in a very clear way for somebody else to learn and create their own habit from it, it doesn't live there for them. So even if it's just a short, simple mistake, there's probably an easy way to process it to make it not happen again.
Yeah. Well, and one of the ways that I kind of a similar application is if there's a communication error, I found it's easiest to assume it was my fault.
Yeah.
Because my communication was not robust enough to communicate to everybody.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we had a guest on that liked researching military history, and he told me that Napoleon there was somebody they considered maybe the hardest to communicate to. I don't know what the night, yeah, there's a lot of unkind words for it, but basically, yeah, he was kind of the slowest of the slow. And so when Napoleon was put together his battle plans, he would bring this guy in and he would tell him the plans and he'd say, "Okay, what did I tell you?" And he would keep refining the way he communicated until this one guy could repeat it back to him. And then he knew he had a robust message that he could communicate to all of his troops.
Yeah. That's, I love that product. I mean, we hear a lot of people say now you got to create a language that, you know, a third grader or a fifth grader can understand. Just simplify it. You know, great leaders simplify things and poor leaders make things more complex, right? So that's a cool, you know, historical, kind of just shows you that we're really not creating a whole lot of new. We're just figuring it out along the way.
Yeah. But what you're saying is kind of the same thing with process, right? You want to have a process that's less dependent on people, that you can put different people in there and they, what's that look like?
I mean, the way I like to build stuff, I love checklists and fill in the blank. Make it very simple, very clear, very easy to follow. Most people, if you have a, you know, an SOP book that's 300 pages and it's just paragraph after paragraph and no pictures, right? It's like nobody wants to read that, and it's probably not going to get followed very well. Even if they read the whole thing, they're not going to retain the whole thing. So anything that's repetitive at all, just creating it into, I don't have to type it, I don't have to write it, it's the same thing every time. So just simplify it for efficiency and just for simplicity of understanding. Check the box, fill in the one word that needs to be filled in or the number, digitally handwritten, whatever it is, but just making it so it's there's no question and I don't understand how to do this. It's just, what do I need to do?
So what would you say to the person who's listening, say that that's still just persuaded that's a people problem? I just need the right people that can understand, because I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, we're all, and I've been that. I've been the owner that was looking for the rock star, right? You know, I read E Myth by Michael Gerber, and it says you got to make the system so simple that you could put a monkey in there and they could do it. Just make it super simple because, you know, that's what it is. And then you hear the opposite viewpoint of if you're hiring the right people, then you don't have these problems. And there's, you know, there's a marriage of the two things. If you have the right people and you've got a system built, those people are going to perform even higher because they don't have to come in and create their own systems. High performers, generally, when you find that rock star, the reason you love them is because they already have a system in their head and it's similar to yours. So you don't have to rebuild your system and train them, because in the industries that I work in, generally in the trades, a lot of us were technicians that had an entrepreneurial spirit, right? So we know how to do the trade really well and we were really good at it. And we wanted to go do it on our own, and we're good at problem solving and pretty good with people. But that management part in the center is the hard part for a lot of us. So training and slowing down to train somebody is just, it's like you want to pull your teeth out. So go ahead.
I would bet the other thing that happens is, let's say, so you were specifically in landscaping. And so I would imagine if you're the guy on the property, doing the install or doing whatever, by the time that you're expanding the team, you've done this hundreds of times. And there are things that you know to do, but they're more like muscle memory, and you just don't think to document them.
And then you think that they should pick up on it in the first week by seeing you do it when you didn't mention it. You didn't even think to mention it. It's just something that you do. And that's exactly right. Is, you know, another way to look at it, and I've told my wife before, I realized, like, by the time I tell the team about a change or a new thing we're going to do or whatever, I've had it in my head and I've broken it and fixed it so many times in my head that now it's just become a habit by the time, for me, it's been 30 days or more, and I've repeated it so much in me building it that, yeah, I can. Boom, I can take off with it. It's new today, but that's already a habit for me. I need to give my team the time and the focus to do that for them so that I can help them create it as a habit. If you just put it out there as a system and then expect it to happen, there's a lot more to it.
You know, while you were talking about that, I was remembering this probably 10, 15 years ago. I went to my brother's place in West Virginia to go shooting. We left and went over to somebody else's house to go shooting. And this guy had, an M4, military style rifle. And I picked it up. I started handling it. I'd been in the Marines, and of course, but we had M16s back when I was in. And I start, playing around with it, and he's like, "Oh, you know how to break this down?" Like, yeah. He's like, well, you show me, which was a surprise in itself. I'm like, you bought this weapon, you don't know how to break it down. But I start breaking it down. This is the first time I held this class of weapon in like 20 years. And I start breaking it down. I get down to the, I had the bolt carrier group and I'm looking at it, and I couldn't remember what to do. But somewhere instinctively, I just kind of flicked my wrist and shot the bolt out. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I do. And yeah, and you pull the pin out and then you can pull the, you know, the bolt out. And but it was that muscle memory. But the thing that got me there was when I was in the Marines, I can't count the number of times that I had to strip the rifle down.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of built in. Well, if you're, you know, if you've been the one doing the trade, there's so many things I would imagine that are just like that, that it's just obvious and you wouldn't even think that you'd have to tell somebody to do it.
Like the way you push a wheelbarrow. Like
Okay.
you would think that would just be like, yeah, just go push the wheelbarrow. Like, no. Like if you want to make it through the whole day and not be absolute toast, like you need to learn how to leverage with your arms and shoulders and what muscles are doing what. You don't want to carry it like this. Just let your arms hang and use your shoulders and, you know, get your body weight certain ways. And those were little things that we did teach our team over time. I figured out, like, I'd see them and I'm like, gosh, man, you're gonna be dead by like noon. Like, stop doing that. Let me show you. And obviously there's a lot of equipment we can use too, but certain places when you're hauling heavy material in or out of a small backyard or something, it's got to be that way. And if you can save their energy, they're going to be in a lot better mood too.
Yeah.
So, but that's a great little example of something that nobody probably ever really thinks about is how it impacts your body and your strength and how you carry a tool. So,
I don't think about it. I haven't thought about that. I didn't
yeah.
know there was a certain way you had to carry a wheelbarrow.
It helps.
Yeah. Wow. So when you look at, well, and let me circle back when you mentioned something earlier called checklists. And I find for me in my business, even on things that I'm really good at, I find that I skip steps when I don't have like a
Oh,
little
yeah.
checklist.
Yeah.
So if I'm writing an ad, I've made fillable PDFs for myself that has my process.
Yeah.
And I go through that. And I can't tell you the number of times where there was a period of time where I was doing some group coaching, and like one was on how to build a something we call a first time offer, and so for the group coaching, I made something I called the Power Offer Worksheet. You know, you fill out this worksheet, and at the end of it, you'll have a powerful offer. And I thought, oh, well, let me just put one of my offers in here to, you know, as an example. And I'm not kidding. In the process of doing that, I was like, oh. And I started realizing all the skips I stepped, all right, all the steps I skipped, and it ended up changing my offer and it made it a more powerful offer. I'm sitting there teaching the process, and because I hadn't followed my own checklist, I was missing out on
The
just an
value of your own.
incredibly more powerful offer.
That's great. Yeah, that's a, I love checklists and I am like, I'm the last guy that wants to be told what to do. Like I'm a very high autonomy individual and I'm very fast paced as well. So checklists for me allow my mind to think about all the other things or be distracted by the phone call or the question or whatever that's probably going to come at me and then refocus right back on where was I? What's the next thing? We had a bike shop for several years. And so when you're doing a tune-up or a like a deep overhaul on a high-end triathlon bike that's $25,000 bike, carbon fiber, everything with ceramic bearings and blah blah blah, you don't want to be distracted, right? And
Yeah.
you don't want to miss anything because this person's gonna go out and do an Ironman, 110, 112 mile bike ride after they've swam, and then they're getting ready to run a marathon. So you got to make this thing right. And so having a checklist that just keeps you in that, we've done it, like you said, a million times, but it's still there to allow for distraction, to give you the freedom of knowing and being still efficient and accurate. So it's
Yeah.
quality control more than real control.
Well,
For me.
think about fighter pilots, some of the biggest egos in the world, some of the most capable people in the world.
Yeah.
But even them, before they start heading down that runway, they have a checklist they go through.
Yep. And DOT checks on trucks every morning for all the stuff we had to fill out for our trucks and trailers and stuff. And it's, we do it every morning. So it gets super monotonous and boring. But if you miss that one thing, it could be a $5,000 or $10,000 fine. And it would have taken you 30 seconds if you'd done, if you didn't miss that step and you saw that little thing and you just replaced that light bulb or whatever, you know, I mean, just depends on what it is. And all the downtime of sitting on the side of the road while that officer is really just taking his time to weigh everything. And he pulled you over for a light bulb, but that's not what he's looking for.
Yeah.
So just the little, it is, it's the really high end stuff that's super important. And it's just the little monotonous stuff that can just cause a really bad day if you just, oops, I do this every day. How did I forget that one? So
yeah,
they're valuable.
Now you, so you've had eight businesses and you said several of them you started with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one where you guys decided it was time to leave. Was that a landscaping business?
It was, yeah. That was the first one together. Yeah.
So what happened?
So I'm, like I said, I'm a very high autonomous and high paced individual. So the unique part of our marriage too, we met, dated, engaged, married. That was in 6 months.
Wow.
So when I know what I want, I know what I want. But 3 weeks before we got married, I decided that it was time to launch a landscape business. And we weren't even married yet. She was co-signing on a truck in her maiden name to get everything up and running and get going. Things went very well. We were thriving. She had left her job to come and run the office and admin stuff. I was doing sales and ops. Great team, profitable. Customers loved us. Great reputation. Even through, this was in like 2008. So even through that downtime from 2008 to 2012, we were thriving and doing great. And over a winter, I had a dream and I woke up and the dream had been that we should sell the business. What in the world does that mean? So I told her and she was like, oh, thank God. Like I've been miserable, but there wasn't any way I was going to tell you because this is your baby. This is the thing that we're building. This is your passion. And so, I mean, that was an immediate red flag for me, right? Like, let's look into what this looks like. We got it sold. That was a whole adventure because 27 years old and never sold a business before, didn't know what I was doing. So went through that whole journey, took a little bit of a brief season afterward to do some other stuff, got our marriage and our unity together and trust and everything rebuilt, especially because we never really got much of a newlywed season. We just went straight into running business. I'm sitting on the couch at 9:10 at night doing bids and designs and emailing customers. And I thought, you know, well, she's sitting next to me. This is quality time, right? And so after that, though, we've done six more since then, and all of it together, all of it amazing. The trust and the way that we run together has been great. So it was a great reset in the early part of our relationship and business journey to make sure that we were focused on the right stuff.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool. What was it that wasn't working in 1.0 that started working in 2.0 and 3.0?
Yeah. I was carrying everything. I thought I just needed to work harder and do more and get it done sooner. I thought, well, you know, I'd like to say I was oblivious to the fact that she was miserable, but I wasn't. I could see it. I just didn't know how to fix it. The only way I knew how to fix it was to just work harder, right? I grew up on a farm. I know how to work with my hands and build stuff. And we just go harder at it. So I thought the harder I push now, this won't last as long. And so we'll have the freedom of either a bigger business that I don't have to do so much, or we'll sell the business and do something else or whatever that future looked like. I thought I just needed to go harder and longer now to get through it. And what I really needed to do is slow down, put the right systems in place, learn how to delegate, learn how to properly communicate, not only with my team, but with her and understanding and like just all of those things. And 2.0 wasn't perfect. 3.0 wasn't perfect. I mean, it's still a growing process.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So when you work with businesses, what are some of the biggest, most common issues that you see that you help them fix?
I mean, communication is huge, and that's why the clarity and simplicity is huge for me, was because it, if you, I used to tend to overcomplicate things in trying to explain them and trying to find a way that would work for everybody. And so I would just, the redundancies that I would build into systems just kind of got confusing. And I thought, you know what, let's just cut the fluff, make it, this is, and I was trying to protect people too. I think protect them from me. I thought I was a very gruff, hardworking, hard driving person. So I wanted to protect them by making sure that I had a way to explain it that worked for them.
Yeah.
And it just got confusing. So simplifying everything to be clear, like you were saying about Napoleon, that's like, I love that. That's going to stick with me forever now. But, and the control side of it, those are the two things, is learning how to communicate what's in your own head as an owner who thinks a million miles an hour and has just all of this knowledge and experience bottled up in there over decades of learning how to do things, how to cleanly get that out to somebody who knows nothing, and then delegate properly that has the follow-up and the accountability on it that still gives you the control that you're looking for, but not the micromanagement or the just elbow them and get out of my way, I'll do it, let me do it.
Yeah.
So gives,
and that's, I mean, it's so easy when you're sitting there and you're looking at it, you know, it's 5 minutes if you do it, it's 20 minutes if you coach them how to do it. And it's so tempting to run in and do it just because it's time efficient that time.
Yep. And even if you get them trained, they may only be able to get down to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But having a team of 10 people doing that in 10 minutes is better than you doing it in five and nobody wanting to work with you. So.
Well, I know for me, you know, there were some things where, well, and I'll give an example. I had an employee who would tell her clients some things that she shouldn't, you know, overpromised or, you know, something. And I was like, you need to clear that up. And she didn't want to make the communication with the client. She's like, well, can you do it? I'm like, no, you've made the communication. You need to clean it up. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And I'll coach you through it. And that was painful for me. I mean, it was, you know, I don't like to see people suffering, and she was suffering. And, but I did that, and I had no idea how much it would pay off. Because as you know from my story, at one point, you know, I go into a coma, and now she has to have the hardest client conversation she ever had. She calls all of our clients and says, hey, I need to let you know that Craig's in a coma, and they're pretty sure he's going to die. And so she ran the business for me when I was in the hospital, and she had one of the toughest client communications you could have. And in that whole time, we only lost one client.
Yeah.
But it's doing,
that's great.
It's having that patience to let them do something at 80% that, you know, you could do it 100% faster.
Yeah. And that, you know, that reminds me of something that just, it sits not heavy on my heart, but the real passion behind helping other business owners figure this stuff out is, like, there's multiple reasons you would want to grow a business or start a business, right? You either just want to control your lifestyle and have a good income. So you're either growing your business to provide for having the freedom to call your own shots and travel when you want to and do that kind of stuff, whatever, or you're building it to sell as an asset, or you're building it and wanting legacy from it and multi-generational, and you're wanting to hand it over to your kids if they want it, or employee owned, or whatever that looks like. And so all of that, whatever is somebody's definition of freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their definition of what freedom is. And the society kind of paints a picture of like fancy cars and big houses and vacations on the beach and all this stuff. That's freedom. Do it what you want, when you want, with who you want. And what I've realized from building and exiting a few times is not amazingly all it's cracked up to be on the other side. And even if there's a ton of money on the other side, you might get bored. It's just like, whatever. So what is freedom? And it's understanding that, like, building something that gives you options. Like you were saying, you built a team that, whether you knew it or not, you had options. And when that happened, thank God you did, because your business was able to survive and thrive without you there, not because they didn't need you, but because when they needed you, you were there and you did the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's an identity thing that a lot of owners go through, is they feel like, well, I don't want my business to not need me. I'm essential, right? It's like, well, it does need you. It just needs you to do the right thing now so that you can have options later. If you don't want to sell your business today, something may change tomorrow, and that decision is completely different. And if you have a business that's sellable, and you need, either you need the finance or you need the time back for a family issue or whatever it is, then you've created that option. So create that option so that you have the option. And then you wake up in the morning and, like, it's a whole different life when you know that, you know, kind of no matter what happens, I have options. I'm not tied down to this thing that owns me. I've created something that not only is good for you, but it's good for your team.
Yeah.
You know, if you have financial hardship, your business goes under. What about your team? What about the community? Like, there's so many, like, so that's the, like, real drive that when you said that, that's what clicked for me on your story. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the paradox that's hard to appreciate is the more you can build a team that can operate without you, the more valuable you are to the business.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. And it's that hard thing as an owner to wrap your mind around, because it wasn't that way in the beginning days. It couldn't operate without you, right? And so that felt like the value. You were the value because you were the one that came up with it. You were the one that created it and built it. And it changes at that certain point.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Well, David,
hard left on that, but
yeah. Well, David, this has been really interesting. And so once again, you help home services businesses really get their processes dialed in and get to that point where they have options. I love the way you put that they have options. And so how can people reach you?
Yeah, website's dfscales.com. And I'd love to put a little package together for anybody that's listening. So if they reach out from the website, and we may be able to put a little tag on the end of it, but we've got some templates that'll help them get started and just really simplify. They may already have some stuff in place, but these templates may help you just really simplify the language of your systems, your role descriptions, how the handoffs happen from team to team within, and then our decision-making framework, kind of a decision tree framework, has been really popular for people to unload their mind and help their team read their own mind. So I'd love to package that stuff up together for people if they mention the podcast, or we'll put a little URL on there and make sure that happens for everybody.
Excellent. Well, David, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies. It's been fantastic.
Thank you.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show It means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.